The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
When Brother Larry Sibley asked me to preach a sermon at the chapel, I was apprehensive at first. You know why? I guess no one has got to preach a sermon in front of the distinguished faculty members and the sharp-minded seminarians like you who love to analyze and criticize the sermons. Not only that, last night was the first day of our city program in New York City. Dr. Davis happened to come to our church and gave us a wonderful lecture of Doctrine of Man, and he warned me that, Brother Park, you are representing the Korean community. You better stay up late and do the sermon right. So I didn't have much sleep last night. When all my excuses to Larry run out, I have no other choice but to come face to you and share the message with you this morning with some aspects of worship that Abraham brought to us. The text we just read this morning, Genesis chapter 12, as you know, this text is one of the many favorite texts among the Korean Americans, especially Korean American people who left their home country and their family and their culture and start a new life here in the States of America. Yet, never have been before in my life that a text and the title were given to preach upon until today. And never been in my life to preach a sermon with a sitting on the chair. I felt like somehow tested. Yet, when the Holy Spirit help us, may the Holy Spirit open my mind as well as your mind to share the message that God has prepared for us this morning. Genesis chapter 12 brings before us Abraham, the father of all them that believe. Abraham, this is the name venerated by Jews and Christians of all nationalities. For instance, our church alone, we have two Abrahams. So when I call them, I have to make sure that which Abraham I'm calling. So I classify them as you are Abraham A and you are Abraham B. This is the name that most Christians cherished. Abraham. Now, later on, his name changed to Abraham, the progenitor of the nation of Israel. Abraham, from whom, according to the flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ came. Surely we shall be richly blessed if we follow Abraham's footsteps as a true worshiper. If you have a Bible with you, you may look at verse 9. Let me read from you from verse 7. But the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. For he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. When he built an altar unto the Lord, he is at the spot where the great temple to be set up by his descendant would stand. This is the place where he built an altar. As we know, he is not a tower builder, nor even a house builder. All he had before he was called by God, the skills that he learned from his father was to carving idols. Yet, when he was called by God, he became a worshiper and made his altar not to an unknown God, but to the God who appeared and called him out of his country. Abram, as a true worshiper, he demonstrated his faith in God by building an altar. he set his priorities straight. By building an altar unto the Lord, he knew exactly how important it is to have a fellowship with God. But not many men like Abraham. As we know, mere men, as soon as they find a suitable place on earth, as soon as they have some material and possession on this earth, the first thing they do is not to worship God, but to build their own home, open a new business, buy a new tower, or build a new tower. But Abraham was different. His first concern was to dedicate himself, all that he has, and all things to God. He followed somehow the footsteps of Noah. Now Abraham consecrated the land of promise to him. The Canaanites had false religion and counterfeit altars. Yet, against all these abominations, Abraham's altar was set up at home and became the center of the church, which God has gathered around him as the father of the faithful. This distinction was made between true and false church. And by building an altar unto the God, made the true religion and the false religion made by God, made by human being. As we follow reading the text, after he built an altar unto the Lord, he called upon the name of the Lord. As we look at the commentators, this expression is used to invoke by prayer the name of Jehovah. Thus, he engaged in a simple and elementary public worship. For Abraham had kept his family and servant separate from the hidden altars around them. And he demonstrated before his family how to call upon the name of the Lord, and he showed himself how to worship the living Lord Jesus Christ, living Lord Jehovah. Therefore, by building an altar unto the Lord Jehovah, he was a prophet and so a missionary, keeping his entire servant trained in the ways of the Lord. And he loved spreading the truth in every part of the land through which he passed. The question comes to us then, what kind of altar did Abraham then build? It was doubtless a very plain altar of rough stones, but probably large enough for the sacrifices to be offered. It would have little attraction in the eyes of many Canaanites, but this is the altar approved by our living Lord Jehovah. So I'd like to share with you with the remaining time, his worship was focused entirely in three areas. When he worshiped the Lord Jehovah, his worship was focused entirely at the glory and honor of God. When he built an altar, there was no self-glorifying in it. As we noticed earlier, Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. Let us put ourselves in the time of Abraham. There was no church building, but a simple stone-made altar. No musical instrument, no hymn book, and no lengthy announcement, yet he had intimate relationship between the Lord Jehovah and himself and his family members. His altar was built to worship God and give glory and honor to him only. Abraham did not erect the altar to make his name known to the neighboring people. He did not put his name plaque on the altar. It was erected as a spontaneous act of gratitude to God, whom called him out of his country. But the man of Babel, as we know, by tower building, sought to get themselves by a name. Abraham, on the other hand, by his altar building, He wants to seek to honor God's name. His act was protest against the prevalent and surrounding idolatry. This was the first altar that honored the living God of Jehovah. In Revelation, this act of worship, to give honor and to give glory to God, reiterates in Revelation. As you may recall, we also learn same attitude from the 24 elders in heaven. The 24 elders fall down before the Lord who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you create all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Revelation chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Abraham's simple and elementary act of worship reminds us how to worship the Lord Jehovah. When we worship the Lord Jehovah, we must give Him honor and glory. Secondly, His worship expressed total dependence on the mercy and promise of God. When Abraham followed God in full obedience, he arrived in the land that God has promised to give to him and his descendants. But you know what happened when he arrived there? There were Canaanites before him. As I was preparing this sermon couple of days ago, and as late as last night, I was remembering myself that if I were Abraham, what would you do? What would your reaction would be? When we read Hebrews chapter 11, when God called Abraham out of his country, he doesn't know where his destination was. 21 years ago, when I was 20 years of age, just graduated from high school, before we came to America, specifically in the city of New York, I was wondering that I have slightest idea about the city of New York. Back in 21 years ago, not many people had chance to come to the New York City and talk about the New York City. All I remember was tall skyscraper buildings. And I remember that which floor, maybe 30th floor or 60th floor or 90th floor of skyscraper building I would live. I have slightest idea. Yet I know that when I arrived at the JFK, John F. Kennedy Airport, my relatives and my friends were waiting for them. But Abraham was different. Had Abraham had no faith in God, he probably would have thought that he was cheated by God. But Abraham, as a worshiper, he did not argue God that why you ask me to leave my country, my people, and my father's household. This land that you promised to give to me and my descendants were already taken by Canaanites. I was a little bit late, God. You are late too. If Abraham had no faith, he probably would argue that, God, had I known earlier that the land that you promised me to give was already possessed and taken by the Canaanites, I would not leave my homeland. I did not have much manpower to overpower them. But he didn't say that. Nor did he turn back to his home country. Acting on the assumption that God had made a serious mistake in sending to Canaan. How is it that Abraham managed to grow strong during this critical period of his life? What made him keep the faith in God? The secret of his strong faith comes from his total dependence on the mercy and promise of God. Abraham, as a true worshiper, never took his eyes off God's mercy and promise. Even though he was in Canaan alone, nevertheless, he never looked at the Canaanites and never been intimidated by the numbers of them. Where does his courage come from? It comes from his total dependence upon God's mercy. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this is the time of critical period of your life, especially if you are graduating class of 1996. You do not know which church you are going to work with. You do not know where God leads you. But as a true worshiper of God, all God asks from you is total dependence on God's mercy and his faithfulness. Do you believe that? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. This is the habit of a Korean-American church pastor, that sometimes, you know, pastor asks church members that whether you're following my sermon outline or not. But back into the time of Abraham, Abraham probably didn't ask the Lord that, hallelujah, praise the Lord, that type of attitude. Yet, he humbly worshiped the Lord. Lastly, Abraham's worship expressed his readiness to consecrate himself entirely to God. An altar that failed to express this would have been a mockery. God is not flattered by an outward show of reverence. Abraham, as a true worshiper, he did not identify with Canaanites who are the idol worshippers. Paul also reiterates this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 following. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Who are the true worshipers? True worshipers are people like Abraham, whom he consecrated his life by separating himself from his simple past and simple environment. Are you want to be true worshipers to God? We must consecrate ourselves to the Lord. We believe that we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We must consecrate ourselves, and we must identify ourselves that we are the people of God. We have power in our hearts. We must be different from the people around us. Do you want to be like Abraham, true worshiper? We are called to worship God. Wherever we are and at all times, we must worship God in honor and glory. When we worship the Lord Jehovah, we must give due glory and honor to him, but also we must totally depend upon his mercy and his faithfulness. I'd like to conclude this sermon by quoting Dr. Jim Boyce. He says, quote, Abraham passed through Canaan, but Canaan was never exactly the same after he had passed through. Can that be said of you? When you die and are buried, will it be written over your life's history? This woman, this man made a difference. Her life, his life, advanced God's kingdom. I'm afraid that many are advancing a kingdom, but that is not Christ's kingdom, which in the final analysis is your own little kingdom. You are building your home, your fortune, your reputation by using, this is my explanation, by using the name of God. I have witnessed many times, especially among the Korean American churches, they using a church platform to honor and to demonstrate their wealth during the worship services. Last week, our church took a great step, which was before the beginning of the worship service, 5 to the 11, normally where the many American church and Korean American church start their morning worship service, 5 to 11, we gave announcement to the church members. Do you know what happened? Less than half of the church members attend and heard the announcement. That 5 minutes was critical to the many church members. So my assistant, who led the worship service, had to repeat the announcement after the sermon again. Sometimes, announcement was longer than the main sermon. Sometimes, announcements made the church members forget what they heard, the main word of God. We shouldn't do that if we want to be a true worshiper of God. Finally, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I urge you and I challenge you that let us not build for this passing world. Let us not be our false worshipers. God knows our hearts, whether we are true worshipers or not. Beyond Abraham, who was the embodiment of the true worshiper, let us leave a mark on eternity by being a true worshiper. Let God's name be praised. Amen.